Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Makos Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara, at the upper part of Daf Chof Aleph, Omar Shmuel, Hamasaret Bekli Chayev, one who imposes a scratch upon himself, and as we learned in the previous sugya, these scratches are scratches over as an expression of grief over the death of a departed one. So according to Shmuel, if one uses a vessel to create the scratch, he is considered in violation of two negative precepts. The two would be the posuk in Vayikra and the posuk in Dvorim. Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source that says Srita Ugdida Achas Hi. The Srita, Lo Yisritu Soret, don't create a scratch, which is the Pasuk mentions in Vayikra, Viseret Lo Soret Lenepesh Lo Titnu Bivsarchem, that is one verb or one expression, Seret. And the pasuk in Devarim that mentions lo sisgoydudu v'lo susimu korcho b'enei nechem l'meis, they are one in the same in the sense that they're both expressions of chabura, of imposing an injury on oneself. Elo shisrita b'yad, however, the action of srita is accomplished only through the hand, through non-use of vessel. Ugedida b'kli, and the pasuk in Devarim which mentions gedida is a reference to something done with a vessel and not by hand. So from this source you see that doing the act of, let us take srita as an example, would not result in two violations, one of srita and gedida, because srita is only biyad and to the exclusion of a vessel. Whereas Shmuel said that Hamasare Bikli, he said explicitly, if one does Masare with a vessel, he is considered in violation of the Vayikra Pasuk, which we mentioned before, Viseret Lenofesh Lo Titnu B'Vsarchem, and according to Shmuel, he's in violation also of the Pasuk of Lo Sisgoldudu. So the Gemara answers, who the Omar Rabbi Yossi? Shmuel is based on the teaching of Rabbi Yossi, who was featured at the top line, and you can see that we've drawn your attention to that with the use of arrows that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where Rabbi Yossi said that Srita Gedida are one in the same. Namely, they each one of them implies hand and vessel, creating scratch by hand and by vessel. And therefore, by doing an action, either one of them, he's involving himself with a violation of two psukim. Toni Tano Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. A Tanaic source was stated in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, Al Meis Bein Biyad Bein Bekli Chayov. Al Avodas Kechovim Biyad Chayov Bekli Potter. Scratching oneself out of an expression of grief over the demise of an individual, that is violated whether if the scratch is done by hand or through the use of a vessel, a kli, an implement. However, when it comes to service of idols, one who is worshipping an idol, part of idol worship involved scratching oneself. According to this source, the violation in the case of idolatry is only if the scratch is imposed by hand, not when it's done by an implement. The Gemara asks, "Vo ipcha ksiv?" There's a pasuk that's stated in the context of idol worship that says to the contrary. It says, "Vayisgodudu kemishpatam becharavois uveramochim." Notice how we've dashed, underlined the expressions Haravos Racham. These are implements. And we see idol worship performed through implements, not like it said in the Tanaic source that Bekli Potter, which was also dashed, underlined. Elo Emo, rather say the opposite, restate the source. Biyad Potter, Bekli Chayav. V'chayav al harosh. We mentioned that there's an iser of lo sakifu pas roshchem, and two spots on the head would result in chiyuv. Machvi Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes demonstrated, he pointed out, bein pirkei dereisha, at the peas harosh is at the joints of the head. This is a reference to the temple area, where the jaw is attached to the head. The al hazokon shtayim mikan v'achas milamato. Machvi Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes pointed out bein pirkei the dikna, at the different joints on the beard. As far as the exact points on one's beard where the use of a razor would be forbidden, this is the subject of a major controversy, major difference of opinions that one finds in the Rishonim. So as far as our presentation is concerned, we will simply suffice to say that there are a total of 5 points on one's face that the use of a tar would be forbidden, the use of a razor would be osir. Rabbi Lezer Omer, im notlan v'chulei. Rabbi Lezer said if he removed all of these forbidden spots and one shot, he's chayav only one. Kosovar chad lav hu. He says that all of the different points represent one lav. This is as opposed to the Tanakama that considers each peah of a peah a separate violation. Ve'enu chayav at sheitlenu b'tar. Tonu rabbonon. We have a Tanaic source, and before we do that, let's just glance at the topic heading that we provide on the side of our Shas Ozer Gemara edition, the Nosei, Isur Tiglachas Zokon Hu Betar. The prohibition of Tiglachas Zokon is with a tar, with a razor. This, in all truth, is the subject of a Machlokes Tanoim, as we'll see, we already saw Shitas Rebbe Eliezer, and the Gemara will make reference to him shortly. Tana Rabbanan, a posuk that's in the context of the Kohanim says, "Upaas zekonam lo yigalechu." The yochol afilu gilchoy b'misporayim yechayev. Could it be that if one shaves himself with scissors, would he be chayev? Talmud lomar. There's a separate posuk that says, in the context of Yisrael, it says, "Lo sashchis es paas zekonecha." Sashchis is an expression of destruction. Iloi sashchis, if the prohibition is hashchosa, of destruction of hairs, we'll call a permanent removal of hair. Yochol im loktoi v'milkat uvrihitni yechayev. If one uses a, let us say, a tweezers, or a rihitni, as a type of implement used for smoothing out rough surfaces, possibly a plane, if he were to move hairs using these implements, would he be chayav? Talmud lomar. So the posuk says, lo yigalechu. Yigalechu is a reference to a shaving action. So in order to be in violation of pa'as zekonam lo yigalechu, hoketzat giluach sheyesh bo hashchosa. It's a shaving process that contains within it the removal of the hair, even though we said before a permanent removal, there might be some inaccuracy with that, but it's a function of the removal of the hair from its root, so to speak. Doesn't mean we're destroying the roots, mamish, but it's, as the Meforshim explain, it's a removal of the hair from its ikar, from its base, as opposed to something that's of a superficial nature only, which would be something characteristic of scissor removal. But in addition to removal of its hair from its ikar, from its base, there it also has to be the normal way of shaving. So the normal way meaning of amongst humanity, But as far as we're concerned, as far as the Jewish people are concerned, if it's the normal way of humanity, but it involves hashchosa, this will be prohibited. And this is accomplished, according to the Tanakhama, through the use of a ta'ar, a razor. Rabbi Lezer Omer, afilu luktoi b'milka ritni chayav. Rabbi Lezer disagrees and says even using these other implements for hair removal, for shaving purposes, for face hair removal, will be prohibited. The Gemara asks regarding Shitas Rabbi Lezer, Monav Shach, which way are you going? E gomir gezera shava liboy tar. If you accept a gezera shava, we didn't mention this earlier, but better late than ever. A few lines up, you can see with the dashed underlines that were featured in the Tanaic source, we have a gezera shava of Pa'as Zekonam by the Kohanim and Lo Sashchis Es Pa'as Zekonecha by Yisrael. And we had to combine these two psukim to come out with the conclusion reached in the source, which was what? Giluach, a shaving process, Shiyesh Bo Hashchosa, which has hair removal from the base of the hair. So if you learn the Gezera Shava, then the conclusion would be a tar. Ilo gomir Gezera Shava, if you don't accept the Gezera Shava, then you would have the Pasuk Vayukra Chaf Aleph, which said, Upa'as zekonam lo yigalechu, then misparayim nami lo. I would come out holding that shaving with a scissors would also be prohibited. So the Gemara answers the Olam Gomer Gzera Shava. Rabbi Lezer does accept the Gzera Shava Limud. The question then is, why is he not limited to, why is the prohibition according to Rabbi Lezer not limited to the scissors alone? The Kosavar Hani Nami Giluach Avdi. He is of the opinion that using a Milkar or a Hitni also falls into the realm of normalcy with regard to Giluach, with regard to shaving. This point is found in the Rashi, the second line underneath the Gemara, in the wide lines. Rashi there uses the, he says that Giluach Avdi Hashchososon Oisa Giluach Klomar. This means to say Giluach Mikri, the use of Milkad Rehitni is called Giluach, the Derech Ligaleach Bohen. Interestingly, this is in contrast with the Tanakhama, which Rashi explained the last of the narrow lines. He said, the Ein Derech Legaleach Bo, using the Rehitni, that's not the Derech Legaleach Bo. So we have a very, very fine point of controversy between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Lezer in how one categorizes the use of a Milkad or Rehitni as far as, is it considered Derech Legaleach Bo or not? The Mishnah. Hakosev Suvas Kaka. This Mishnah features, as we have in our topic heading, Suvas Kaka, which is referred to often as tattooing. Kosav v'lo kaka, kaka v'lo kosav, eino chayov, ad sheyichtov v'kaka. One, in order to be in violation of this, has to kosev, he has to write on his flesh. He has to design or write on his flesh first, and he does that with some kind of substance that Rashi calls sam or sikra, different types of dyes. And after that, he's mikakea. This involves the use of a needle or a scalpel, which would cause the dye that he wrote on the surface of his flesh to enter the lower epidermal layers between the what Rashi calls the or and the basar, the skin and the meat, possibly the muscle layer. So the Mishnah goes on to say that the chiyuv is only at sheyichto v'yikaka biyodoi, or there's a different girsa that says bidyo, with ink, ubekochol, a different type of coloring substance, ubechol dover shu roshem, or any other type of material that creates an impression. Rabbi Shimon ben Yudah, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer, eino chayav ad sheyichtov shom es hashem. according to this opinion, the chiyuv is only if he writes the name of Hashem. Shenemar uksubas kaka lo sitnu bochem ani Hashem. Based on this pasuk, he comes to his conclusion that the chiyuv is only if he writes the shame. This will be featured later in the Gemara in greater detail. Omalei Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava l'Rav Ashi. He asks, ad diyichtoiv ani Hashem mamash? He's asking here how to understand the Mishnah. Is the din of Rav Shimon Yehuda suggesting only if you write these words, Ani Hashem? Omalei lo. That's not what is being referred to as the is prohibited. Rather, Kidetoni Bar Kapora. Eino Chayov at Shiyichtov Shem Avodas Kechovim. According to this opinion, the prohibition is if he writes the name of an idol. Shenemar uksubas kaka loy sitnu bochem ani Hashem, which implies ani Hashem v'lo acher. Only I am the God and not something else. And it's that something else that is being prohibited, according to this opinion. Let us glance at the Rashi, who fills in the picture a little bit more. Rashi is found in the wide lines underneath the Gemara, approximately the sixth of those wide lines. Uksubas kaka lo sitnu bochem. Shum ksubas kaka lo ta'asu. No tattooing should be done. Lefi shani Hashem v'asurim atem lichtov shem acher al besarchem. And Hashem is telling us that it's forbidden to write any other name on one's flesh. We see from this that the main prohibition is the writing of the or the tattooing of the name of an idol on oneself. Umiu, asur luchtov shum ksiva ba'olam afilu l'Rabbi Shimon. However, one should be aware that any type of tattooing will be forbidden, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Elo dechiyuv malkus lecha. The only difference being that there will be no lashing penalty except for the case of tattooing the name of an idol on oneself. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take note of the Nosei Mivneh heading we have for this section. The topic and structural note, we feature the trapezoid volcano form. You see one over here, and a few lines later you'll see Rav Ashi. In other words, we've got Rav Malchia featured as number one, and later Rav Ashi as number two. Beis, we have in our note on the side, Beis Deis im muter losim efer makle al gabi makoso mipnei chasha shenira kiksubas kaka. Let us say that a person has a makle, he has some type of bruise. It seems that placing ash on a bruise had some benefit. Is it nevertheless allowed to be done? Can one, upon experiencing a chabura, a bruise, an injury of some sort, is he able to sprinkle over it ash? Or is there a problem in so far as that it looks like tattooing? So let us turn to the Gemara. Omar of Malchia. Bar Omar of Ado Bar Avo. Osur lo l'odam shi'itein efer makla agabi makosoi. L'mipnei shenir eis kiksubas kaka. It's forbidden to place ash on one's injury because it looks like tattooing. Notice we have a brackets. If you use these brackets for skipping purposes, as far as the length of the brackets is concerned, we have a length indicator, a dashed dot vertical line. Afterwards, you'll notice Rav Ashi appears, and he says there, Rav Ashi Omar, kol moko im shiesh shom mako, makosoi mochachas olov. Where there is an injury, then no one will mistake the sprinkling of ashes over that for tattooing. People see that he's using the ashes for helping heal his injury and for nothing else. Within the bracketed section is a series of halachas that we will be turning to. And within the bracketed section, you'll also notice a triangle form. This is explained in the outside margin under the heading Mivneh, and we note the Sochasogra, the structure of the Gemara within the bracketed section. We see the triangle featured, Shnei Deos al Chalukas Kvutza Shel Sheish Halachas. We're going to have two opinions in how to divide a group of six halachas. Mi Omar Es Ma, who said what? And the names that will be the subject of the machlokes will refer to Rav Malchio and Rav Malchio, in addition to Rav Chanina and Rav Papa, who are in the triangles, who are featuring how the list of six is to be broken down. So now let us go over the Gemara, starting with the bracketed section. Omar Rav Chanina Bre de Rav Ika. Notice we've numbered three halachas. We're not going to, in the context of our shir, give the background to each one of them, because our hope is that as you're learning through all of Shas, you will encounter each one on its own. We'll just refer to them as the titles of six different halachas. Number one, Shpud. Number two, Shvachos. And number three, Gumois. These three halachas are authored by Rav Malchiyo. Another three halachas, Bloiris, Efer Makle. Efer Makle is the one halacha that's germane to our sukya, Ugvina. These three halachas are authored by Rav Malchiyo. So according to Rabbi Chanina, the list divides as three and three, three under Rav Malchiyo's name and three under Rav Malchiyo's name. Rav Papa Omar, Masnisin Umasnisa equals Rav Malchiyo. Those halachas that are taught as commentaries on Mishnayos or Brises, the one responsible for them is Rav Malchiyo. If we take, for example, the halacha of Shvachos, the halacha of Shvachos is a commentary based on a Mishnah. It's the explanation of a Mishnah in Maseches Ksubos. So the case of Shvachos, according to Rav Malchiyo, according to Rav Papa, Rav Malchiyo is the one responsible for the halacha concerning Shvachos. Not like the way Rav Chanina presented it, presenting the issue of Shvachos under Rav Malchiyo's name. Shmaitza, the Gemara goes on to say, those halachas that are of Amoraic nature and stated in isolation, namely not as commentaries or explanations of a Mishnah, those are comments that are authored by Rav Malchiyo. The Simonech, and in order to remember Rav Papa's breakdown, Masnisa Malkisa, the Tanaic literature is Malkisa, and Malkisa sounds like Malchiyo. So by remembering this expression, you'll remember what Rav Papa is trying to say, that Rav Malchiyo is the one who's responsible for the halachas that serve as commentaries on Mishnayos. We can say ahead of time that according to the commentary here on our daf, Pirush HaKuntres, we'll call it Rashi, according to this particular approach, the first approach that you find in the Rashi here, we are not saying that Rav Malchiyo is responsible only for the Tanaic comments, namely the explanations that are explanations of Mishnayos. He may include that which is also of Amoraic nature. However, according to Rav Papa's approach, Rav Malchiyo has no Mishnah-related comments under his name. My Binayu, what is the difference between Rav Papa's listing and Rav Chanina's listing? Ika binayu shvachos. The case of the shvachos. That halacha, as we mentioned a little earlier, that halacha was a comment on a Mishnah in Ksubos. Being that that's the case, Rav Papa would take the case of shvachos, which was number two under the Rav Hanino listing for Rav Malchio, and he would remove shvachos from under Rav Malchio's name. This is namely, Rav Papa would remove shvachos from Rav Malchio's name and place the issue of shvachos under Rav Malchio's name. So according to this approach, the commentary that we're using to explain the sugya, there are other approaches. But the approach we're saying right now would then create a situation where, according to Rav Papa, you would have only two halachas under Rav Malchio's name, because we've removed shvachos, leaving shpud and gumos for Rav Malchio. And now there would be four halachas under Rav Malchio's name. You would have bloiris, Efer Makle, Gvino, and the case of Shvachos. We've provided a chart on the in the margin of the Gemara, trying to help illustrate this, featuring Rabbi Hanina and Rav Papa, and under each one of them, Rabbi Hanina and Rav Papa, we've listed Rav Malchio and Rav Malchio as according to Rav Hanina's approach and Rav Papa's approach. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Beivai Bar Abaye Kopid Afilu Arivda de Kusilta. With regard to the placing of ash on injuries, not only accidental injuries, but even a bloodletter's lance, the we'll call the incision made by a bloodletter in attempting to bloodlet. That very small incision is something that Rav Beivai Bar Abaye would not put over that, the ash. He was very makbid, he was very restrictive in his approach to this halacha. Rav Ashi Omar, kol mokom shiyeh shom mako, wherever a person has an injury, makosoy mulchachas olav, the injury shows or proves that he's not doing it with ksubas kaka intention. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a Mishnah that has a new series marker, the diamonds, and they are explained on the side of our Gemara. We have a Mivneh note, Sidra Shel Averos. We're going to have a list of offenses. You can see we have under Roman numeral 1, which features the Nazir. We have Nazir being Shoyse Yayin, and if you look ahead in the Mishnah, you see Tumas Metamela Mesim, Migaleach, and shaving, which are all prohibited for a Nazir. We have a Roman number 2, which features the case of Lovush Bekilayim. That's something appropriate, or inappropriate would be more accurate, but it's something that concerns everybody, not just a Nazir. So let's continue. Let's go back to our note. We have a Sidra Shel Averos Shechayav Alehen Rak achas, aval im hisrubo hasros rabois chayav al kol achas vachas. These three halachas, these series of halachas, will entail multiple actions. But as a result of the multiple actions, there's only one liability, one penalty of malchus, one set of malchus. However, if he receives a separate warning before violating each action, then there will be multiple sets of malchus for each action. We've also featured the Roman numeral 1, our three halochas harishonos kshuros lenozir. The three first diamonds feature halochas that are related to a nozir, and Roman number 2, shayach b'chol adam. The issue of lovush kilayim, levishas kilayim, is something that's applicable to everybody. Turning to the Mishnah. Nozir shehoya shoyseyayin kol hayoyim. A nozir who is restricted in drinking wine and also exposing himself to the dead, tumas mesim and migaleach, hair removal, shaving and haircuts. So a nazir who is drinking wine all day, ein chayav elo achas, he will be chayav only one set of lashes. However, omru lo, with our double underlining, we featured throughout the Mishnah omru lo, and you'll see that all of these have a point in common. They tell him, they tell the nazir, al tishteh, al tishteh.
Each time he's about to drink, they warn him, don't drink. And after each warning, he then drinks. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. He'll be chayav for each drinking a separate set of lashes. Hoyim etame lemesim kol ayoyim. Einu chayav el achas. Omru lo, al tetame. Don't expose yourself to the tumah. And each time after he's warned, he does. V'hu metame, and he exposes himself to the tumah. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. Hoyim megaleach kol hayoyim. Einu chayav el achas. Omru lo, al tigaleach. V'hu megaleach. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. Roman numeral number 2, we now feature the issue of kilayim, which is not nazir related. Hoya lovush b'kilayim kol ayoyim, eino chayav elo achas. Omru lo, al tilbash. They warn him each time, don't wear the kilayim. V'hu poshet v'lovesh, and he takes off the article of clothing and puts it back on. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. We have a slash mark in the Mishnah indicating that which follows is a new idea. Yesh choresh telem echod. There is a situation where one can plow one furrow. The chayov olov mishum shmoina lavim. And in the one act of plowing, he is in violation of 8 averas, 8 transgressions. Hachoresh b'shor v'chamor v'hein mukdoshim. If one plows with 2 different varieties of animals, like shor and chamor, this is a prohibition of kilayim as far as plowing is concerned, and they are sanctified. The kilayim bekerim, according to Tosfos, this kilayim bekerim represents points 3 and 4, and Tosfos at the end of Dibur HaMasra HaChoresh mentions that there is a problem of zorea bekerim. And there's also a problem of kilei zroyim in this particular, as far as this mission is concerned. And the next, ubeshvius, he does this during the Shemitah year, the yontov, and he does it on a yontov, the kohen, the nazir, beve satuma. And he happens to be plowing this furrow in a place where there is a dead body. And the plower happens to be a kohen who also accepted upon himself nazirus, totaling 8 violations in this one act of plowing. Chananya ben Chachinoy omer av haloyvesh kilayim. You can add another negative prohibition. It would be that if this plower happens to be wearing kilayim clothing, he's wearing shatnez. Omru lo eino hashem. He said that they respond to him and say that the problem of shatnez is not a plowing-related offense. Hence, it's not going to be included. Omar lohem, af hanozir lo hu hashem. Well, in your list, you had as one of the 8 the fact that he was a kohen and nozir. The fact that he's a kohen and nozir is not a result or has no direct bearing on the plowing, on the action of plowing, and yet you were willing to count Koyen Venozir. Therefore, I want to include that the plower is wearing shatnez. As we turn to the Gemara, we notice a triangle with a colored in tip. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Mivne note, a structural note. Shnei Deos, Lahazbir Hodigotoni, Vahu Poishet Velovish. We have 2 opinions that explain the phrase in the Mishnah that said he was Poishet Velovish. Omar of Bevai, Omar of Asi, Loi Poishet Velovish Mamish. The violation of wearing the kilayim, or we could say the multiple violations of the kilayim, doesn't mean he's totally disrobing and then clothing himself. Even if he is putting his arm in and out of the sleeve of his garment, that itself would constitute a separate violation each time. Machvi Rav Acha Breda Rav Iko Iuli Vafuki, and Rav Acha demonstrated this, putting his arm in and taking it out. That's sufficient for creating this isur, multiple isur of kilayim, of shatnez. Rav Ashi Omer. He goes further and says, "Afilu lo shoha elo kidei lishot v'lilboish chayav." even by delaying wearing this, wearing it without actual, the actual action, but every moment that goes by whereby he could have taken off and put it on would create additional or multiple chiyuvim. Yesh choresh telem v'chulei. Before we go on in the Gemara, we want to take a look at our nosei, our topic heading. We've written in Hachoresh Bekilayim Mishumai Mechayev, one who plows in a field that has mixed varieties of crops, which we will term Kilayim. The action of plowing, what guilt is entailed when one plows Kilayim? Number one, Lefi Rav Yanai, according to Rav Yanai, the plowing is considered mechape, or by plowing, he is causing the seeds that are planted in the ground to be covered by earth. Shelishitaso nechshav zorea. The chiyuv of mechape, according to Rabbi Yanai, is called zorea bekelayim. And as such, v'havei chayav lekulei amo. All parties would agree that it's chayav, it's culpable. Number two, lefi reish lakish, mechape yechayev mishum mekayim. Covering the seeds of mixed varieties in the ground, that action is called mekayim, preserving kilayim. Only Rabbi Akiva holds that mekayim bekilayim, that maintenance of kilayim, maintenance, namely the non-uprooting of the kilayim, the maintenance of the kilayim, is chayav. Avo chachomim depotar bemekayim, patri nami bemechape. This is all according to Reish Lakish, that the Chachamim who hold there's no Chiyuv Malkos on Mekayim B'Kilayim will also say that they would have said that Mechape is also not guilty. Turning to the Gemara, Om Rav Yanai, B'Chabura Nimnu V'Gamru, in the group of sages they decided, HaChoyfe B'Kilayim Loike, one who covers over, from the word, like the word Chupa, to cover over the Kilayim seeds, mixed seeds that are planted together, loike, he's worthy of or guilty of receiving lashes. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan turns to Rabbi Yanai and says, Lav Mishnosenu Hizu, is this not included in our Mishnah? In other words, you don't seem to be telling me something new. The marking indicates that we have a long question. This is where Omar Le Rabbi Yochanan begins, and we have a dashed vertical line indicating the length of the question. So he asks, is this not in fact taught in our Mishnah? What does the Mishnah say? Yesh chorish betelem echod, v'chayav alov mishum shmoyna lavim, ha-chorish b'shor v'chamor, v'hein mukdashim v'kilayim v'kerem. We've dashed underlined the word ha-chorish because this is the only word that's significant in our current discussion. Hai chorish de mechayav mishum kilayim. The Mishnah that says that choresh, the action of plowing, is chayav within the realm of kilayim, hechi mishkachas la. How is that to be understood? Demichsi behadi deozil. That as he is moving his plow along, he is covering over the seeds. That's called mechape bekilayim, and according to Rav Yanai, it's a type of zorea, and that's something that everyone would agree with, that it's chayav zeh, because the pasuk says kilayim, it says sadocha lo sizra kilayim. Amale Rabbi Yanai says back to Rabbi Yochanan, who raised the question, he says ilav de daloi loch chaspo, had I not picked up the shard, mi mishkachas marganisa tusa, would you have found the precious item underneath it, the marganisa, possibly a pearl, would you have found it? No. In other words, that without my comment that Choyfe B'Kilayim is Chayev Malkos, and I'm accepting that the Mishnah is in fact a support of my idea, you would have set up the Chiyuv of Choresh as something prohibited Mishum Mekayim, and that would be Chayev only according to Rabbi Akiva. Amale Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish will echo this this last point to Rabbi Yochanan. We've noted with our markings a nun, a nekuda that's circled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that the length of all of these lines of Gemara develops the point that Reish Lakish makes. So Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, Ilav de Kilsoch Gavra Rabba, had a great man not praised you, namely Rav Yanai, had he not agreed with your approach, Have Amina, I would have thought, Masnisin Moni, our mission is according to whom? Rabbi Akiva he, the Omar Hamekayim Kilayim Loike. Namely, that the Mishnah that talks about Choresh, drawing the plow, and as a result of that, covering the seeds, Mechape Bekilayim, I would have categorized that not like Rav Yanai, who wants to call that Zoreya, but I would have categorized that as Mekayim. And as such, this is something that only Rabbi Akiva would hold to be forbidden and guilty of lashes. My Rabbi Akiva, what is the source in which he is found? Desanyo. We have a Tanaic source that the Gemara elsewhere says is all according to Rabbi Akiva. Hamenachesh v'amechape b'kilayim loike. Rabbi Akiva oimer af hamekayim. The Rashi points out that in Maseches Moed Katan, this source is re-read or re-explained, and it lists these actions, Menachesh Mechape Bekilayim is Loke, and there it says, She Rabbi Kivomer Af HaMekayim, that sets up the whole source as Rabbi Kiva explaining that these actions, including Mechape, are an issue of Mekayim, and that's something only Rabbi Akiva holds is forbidden. My time of the Rabbi Akiva, what is the basis of Rabbi Akiva's Isur of Mekayim Bekilayim? Desanya, we will see now a Tanaic source which features a Pasuk. Before we go on, let's just glance to the side of the Gemara where we've written in the necessary words. As far as the Pasuk is concerned, we've written in Behemtecha lo sarbia kilayim, Sadecha lo isizra kilayim. The first is a reference of mixed breeding animals, and the second is mixed breeding produce. Desanya, Sadecha lo isizra kilayim. This was actually the second half of that quote that we have included on the side. Ainli ela zoreya. I know only that the actual planting is that which is prohibited, because the pasuk says sadachalos sizra kilayim, planting. Mekayim inayim. From where am I to derive that the maintenance of kilayim, in other words, the non-uprooting of a kilayim field, is also guilty? Talmud lomar kilayim sadachalos. If you glance at the side, you'll notice what has been done here. We've taken the word kilayim from the first clause and attached it to the beginning of the second clause. And it comes out, kilayim sadechalo, that kilayim should not be in your field. So by allowing it to be there, one is over, one is in violation of mekayim bekilayim. This is the end of the long point that we featured before with Reish Lakish. So at this point in the Gemara, one can see there's a machlokis between Rabbi Yanai and Reish Lakish, how one is to view the process of choyfe b'kilayim, of covering over kilayim seeds. According to Rabbi Yanai, that's a problem of zoreya, which would be something that everyone would agree is usher. According to Reish Lakish, that would be a problem of Mekayim B'Kilayim, which is something that only Rabbi Akiva holds is prohibited and worthy of lashes. Omale Ula L'Rav Nachman. Velilki nami mishum zorea biyantov. The question is raised, why is there not also a chiyuv for planting on Yom Tov? We mentioned in the Mishnah that through one act of plowing, one can be in violation of 8 offenses. Why not list a further offense? Zoreya b'Yom Tov. Yom Tov, in a way similar to Shabbos, is forbidden to do many, many malachos. So, if one is plowing, and we explained under Rav Yanai's name that the plowing action causes the seeds to be covered, and that helps the growth, it promotes the growth of the seeds, and hence it's called Zorea. So why is there no listing of Zorea Biontov and say that there's a 9th set of lashes? So we answer, Amarle Tana Vashir. This is the first answer. Rav Nachman says, the Tana taught a number of offenses, and he left out. In other words, there are other offenses that, in fact, could be included. Amalei, so Ula says back to Rav Nachman, upon hearing that answer, he says, Tana katoni shmoina. The Tana says there are 8, indicating, like, defining the boundaries. There are 8 and no more. The Ad Amris Tana Vashir, and you're telling me that the Tana taught some and left out other possibilities. Amalei, Rabo. Rabo, notice we've listed as number 2. He says that, in fact, Zorea B'Yom Tov will not fit into the Mishnah, because the purpose of our Mishnah is to seek multiple sets of lashes. By trying to list Zorea B'Yom Tov, you're trying to give me another Yom Tov violation. We already mentioned in the Mishnah that he's over on Choresh B'Yom Tov. Why not say that he's over also on Zorea? So let's continue in the Gemara. Omarle, Rabba, Yesh Chiluk Malachos B'Shabbos, Ve'en Chiluk Malachos B'Yom Tov. The concept that for each Malacha there's a separate, considered a separate offense, and hence a separate set of malchus, or separate punishments, that's a phenomenon that exists on Shabbos, but does not exist with regard to Yom Tov. The concept of chiluk malachos, separate culpability for each malacha done. Upon hearing this answer, Omar Lay, from the, it seems that Ula responds, Odo Tehe, that thusly it shall be. As the Gemara goes on, it raises a question that we will start the question, but the answer we'll leave over for another occasion. We're going to challenge what Rabba just said. Rabba just said that there's chiluk malachos on Shabbos and not chiluk malachos on Yom Tov. In other words, if a person on Yom Tov violated several malachos, and he did so b'mezid, he wouldn't be chayav multiple averos, multiple lashings. If, however, on Shabbos he committed multiple violations of malachos, he would be chayav for each malacha a separate chatos, separate sacrifice to atone for his Shabbos violation. The Gemara asks, V'ha Tanya, Hamavashel gid hanoshe b'cholov b'yom tov v'ochloi loike chomesh. If a person cooks up the gid hanoshe, a forbidden part of the leg of animals, and he cooks it up in milk on Yom Tov and eats it, by doing that, he's made himself chayev, or he's imposed upon himself 5 sets of lashes. Loike mishum oichel gid. The prohibition of eating gid hanoshe results in a set of lashes. Veloke mishum mevashel b'yom tov shelo litzorech. He's also over on Malachas Yomtev was done for no reason. Whereas the Mavashel, the cooking that he did on Yomtev, was a cooking for no reason. It wasn't for eating, wasn't for allowed eating purposes. And as a result of that, he's Chayav Malkus. Three, Mishum Mavashel Gid B'cholav. That's another problem called Boser B'cholav, which the mere act of cooking meat and milk together is prohibited. V'loke Mishum Oichel Boser B'cholav. V'loike mishum havora, and he's also guilty of the fire, of lighting the fire that he's using for the cooking. We've dashed, underlined the key expressions. We see mevashel b'yomtov and also havora. These are two yomtov related malachas. Now the imisa, if it's so that there's no chiluk malachas on yomtov, here the Gemara at the top of Chof Beis in Makis says, if it were so that there's no chiluk malachas in Yotov, then mishum havora lo lechayev to ichayev le mishum bishulo. There should not be an additional penalty for the havora because he's already become penalized because of doing bishul b'yomtov. So how do you account for the fact that you see mevashel and havora mentioned, which would seem to say that there is separateness and separate in guilt, separate penalty worthy of someone who's mevashel on Yom Tov? He's mevashel and over on Havora. The answer to that will be forthcoming in the next year. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.